You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Time for our player spotlight. And who better to talk to than a man who came up with one of the most improbable catches you're going to see in a long time. I'm talking about Seahawks wide receiver David Moore is with us. David, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
We're great. I mean, we're still buzzing about that game against the Patriots. We'll ask you about your upcoming opponent, but just that I'm actually watching the video that you retweeted that says it was a 6.3% completion probability on that. And I'm looking at you, and you're basically running backward into the end zone with a defender all over you, and somehow you had the presence of mind to get your right foot inside the white on the sideline. I mean, is that the greatest catch you've ever made?
For sure. Probably one of the best ones with the whole getting my feet in bounds. That's top for sure.
Yeah, that was weird, man. It looked like your heel was definitely going to go out, and yet you just dragged it in. I guess that's just hours and hours and hours of practice, huh?
Yeah, man, and really just getting the feel for the field. So when I felt the pylon, I was just like, keep my feet as close as I could. And once I hit the ground, I was just like, I know for a fact my foot was inside the pylon. So I was like, heck yeah, that got to be a catch. So I started pointing so fast.
Well, what'd you think when you saw the replays? That when you hit the pylon, did that tell you that you needed to come back a little more toward the field? Or do you think if you hadn't hit the pylon that you maybe wouldn't have gotten both feet in?
The pylon for sure helped out. That was pretty big. So when I hit the pylon, I knew for a fact I was inside of it because I knew my left foot had hit the ground at least close to a foot in front on the inside of it. So, yeah, I knew for a fact I just had to keep my feet as close as possible.
What I mean, it's such a brilliant catch. It's a brilliant throw, by the way. I mean, Russell couldn't have put the ball anywhere else based on the coverage there. But to do that, and David, you know the 12s as much as anybody. Normally, that state, you probably would have felt it shaking after that play. What was the feeling after? I mean, obviously, you're excited, but you don't have anybody in the stands to respond to it.
No, I didn't really have any. We didn't have anybody in the stands. I mean, the stands, but I had my boys, man. And once I seen Will, we did the jumped up, hit each other, and it was just like, wild. But I know for a fact if the fans would have been there, just my chest would have been ringing. Everything would have just been vibrating. Probably would have had another earthquake.
Yeah, that was, you know, one of my favorite plays, David. I just thought it was great improvisation is fly sweep in Atlanta. And I like to think that you planned that out, right? So that way they
overshoot. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You fumble and then you take it back. But I just thought that showed a lot of savvy. Did you feel different coming in this year, like you got a little bit more control of the game? Because I thought that was an indicator of that you really feel comfortable out there.
Yeah, as the years go on, I feel like everyone gets a feel for how it is in the league. And, yeah, man, this being my fourth year, being with the same people, same coaches, and just pretty much dang near the same guys, man. I got my close boys with me, and we're all together, and I know for a fact that I don't have anything to worry about as long as I come prepared with them. Anything's possible, and just go out there and have fun.
Hey, David, you nationally got a lot of attention for your catch, and then also your comment after the game when somebody asked you what it was like to watch Russ cook, and you said, what, it's kind of like Thanksgiving, you know you're going to get something good? That was a pretty good one. I like that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So you're on board. You're on board with the cooking people who want Russ to cook, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think we're all liking it.
Hey, as far as this offense goes, I mean, it's only two games, so it's hard to make a clear judgment one way or the other. But the offense looks explosive. Is this far and away the best offense you've been a part of with the Seahawks, or do you think others have stacked up close to it? How do you feel?
It's for sure different. It's different in very many ways, but yeah, this offense is kind of like just more tempo. You know, we're kind of moving a lot faster and taking a lot of deeper threats. I mean, deeper balls and stuff like that. Like, got a lot of stuff in the book, but yeah, it's just Shotty and them getting their getting some time up there and really just coming up with some good old plays, stuff that can beat you deep and beat you short. And we're still going to have the run game. You know the run game is going to be there. Still a run team. Yeah. The backs kill it. They help us out.
Well, and you brought up the run game. So what did you think on the third and one and a half where they threw the deep route to Tyler Lockett? Because there was a lot of people that said, oh, they should have ran the ball there. But I always feel like you put the football in the guy, your best player, and that's, you know, Russ. And so does it feel like it's going to go more that way this year as far as play calling, taking chances?
Nah, it was just one play. I don't know. We can go back and forth with the whole should have ran it, shouldn't have passed it stuff. But, you know, play call is play call. Go out there, execute it, and things happen. You just got to hope for the best.
David, was like the most professional answer ever, man. You are truly a veteran, man. That was very well done.
I like to say I'm growing a little bit.
I might be going too far with this one. You can say no comment if you want, David, but I'm going to ask you anyway, just a personal question here. When they asked you to take a pay cut, and, you know, I mean, everybody around, you know, the way the economy is and stuff, you know, people are thinking, well, gee, I'd rather take a pay cut and still be employed than to not have a job. I'm not sure what your attitude was about that, but I was thinking to myself, gee, I wonder what he was thinking about that. And so I'm asking you that. And then after you made that catch, after you had the 20-yard punt return, which was fantastic the other night, I'm thinking you should go to John Schneider and say, hey, Johnny boy, we think about a raise right about now.
Oh, snap. All right, that was a good one. But, that's really how my thought process was going into it. Really, I'm just like, this is a crazy year, man. This is all wild. This is COVID 2020, you know. This hits me. I'm like, all right, well, look, it's a chance, it's an opportunity to stay here and be a part of a great group. I know the group is going to be great, and I knew for a fact I'd have fun here, and I love it here. My best friends are here. I wouldn't want to leave at all, so the whole little pay cut deal wasn't – when I got it, I was like, all right, that's all right. I still get paid. I still get to play the game that I love, and I get to be around the people I love. So it wasn't really a thing to it. Honestly, it was a decision I made in probably a split second, like, as soon as they said it. I was just like, yeah, all right. It's okay. Let's sign it. Let's get going. You know what I mean?
Good for you, man. That's a great attitude.
For sure.
Hey, as far as your spot on the team goes, obviously with no preseason, guys couldn't really show what they could do. You're a known commodity. You've been with the team for a few years, but, you know, they bring in Philip Dorsett. Josh Gordon gets re-signed. We don't know when he's going to come back. They draft Freddie Swain. Did you look at that as a challenge? Sorry, all right, they're coming after my spot. Did that sort of create more intensity in your I guess, competitive nature, if you will? How did you view what they were doing with the receiver spot?
I just felt like they were just trying to stack the room, bring in more guys. I really wasn't, I wasn't threatened by any of it, but, I just kind of figured you bring in these guys, man, I'm pretty sure probably gonna have the best wide receiver core in the NFL. So I'm all bored with it all. So it's just more friends for me, I feel like.
More friends. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and where do you get in a receiver room that kind of attitude? I mean, and not you guys, David, but sometimes receivers can be a little bit diva-ish and want their targets. But you talk about the great friends you have in that room. Give us kind of a breakdown. What's Tyler like? DK, you know, who's the funniest? Who do you hang around with the most in that room?
The thing about it, our receiver room is everybody's different, but everybody's the same. So, like, we're all selfless. We don't care. None of us selfish at all. So we don't care about the ball. I've never been that guy. I know Tyler and DK, they've really never been those guys either. Just, oh, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me nah. And me, in general, if you want to do that, I don't know. That's just you. We're going to win the game. We're all a team. So that's how we all look at it. And we're brothers at the end of the day. Like, this is football, but these relationships go past that. And, yeah, DK, he's probably – you can't really say who's the funniest because then you got Freddie in there, Freddie Swain. He'll crack you up too. So, like, we all bring our own funniness and stuff like that. But, that's what makes it great. Like, everybody comes and brings it together, and, like, you even got more funny guys in the room. Like, everybody in the room is funny and something, somewhat kind of funny. So it's, like, it's an exciting room for sure.
You're laughing just thinking about those guys. That's how funny
they
are.
Yeah, because I know practice is going to be crazy. I know it's going to be something that happened at practice. We're all going to laugh, tears. Hey,
David, congratulations on the win, the start to the season. Such a brilliant catch that people are going to be talking about for a while, I'm sure. We wish you nothing but the best coming up against Dallas, and hopefully we're talking again soon. Thanks so much for the time.
I appreciate y'all for having me. Thank you.
There you go. David Moore, who not worried about targets, not worried about catches, as nobody else in that room is, which is really, really different for wide receivers. You point out they can be diva-ish. We've seen the history of that. By the way, the Seahawks Player Spotlight is brought to you by Bud Light Platinum Seltzer. So, yeah, I mean, what a great attitude, though. And if Tyler's that way, DK's that way, that's, you'd have to say that's an anomaly, right?
There's a certain receiver with the initials AB that we haven't talked about for a long time.
It's been glorious.
And aren't you glad? And aren't you glad? I mean, that would have been a mistake. I mean, that group in there, DK, Tyler, I mean, they're so humble, such nice guys. Couldn't
be
Josh happy.
Ever gets back there, he seems to fall right in line with that same attitude he's ever allowed to play again.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird that we haven't heard. Maybe we'll hear, hey, he's eligible next week, you know, next week or something. But, yeah, you're next of kin there, Jim, with the same last name, David Moore. Nice kid. I'm really happy to see him having a good year and being that guy. And that was a good question.
That was a brilliant catch. God, that was a good catch.
I mean,
the throw was brilliant. The catch was brilliant.
But what about his feet? I mean, I think that's the most important part of it. I mean, I don't know how he got his foot back inside, but he seems to be one of these guys that, I don't know, there's something about him that doesn't have, like, that superstar quality, yet he sometimes will make superstar plays, you know?
Curse.
Huh?
He's like Jermaine Curse.
Yeah. Yeah, Jermaine Curse had some clutch catches, and he's kind of a controversial subject amongst Seahawks fans.
Because he, and Jim, you know this, in his time at UW was the same. He would often, for whatever reason, not come up with what was deemed the routine catch. Like, how did you drop that?
You mean like the first four interceptions in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay?
Yeah. So he would, but he was one of those guys that would make that catch like, holy mackerel, do you see what he just did? Unreal. And then one that hits him right between the numbers going across the middle would bounce off his chest. Right.
Well, he impressed me enough that I was hoping the Seahawks might bring him back this year. I think he's currently out of football, or maybe he's looking for a job. I think he's still only around 30. But, yeah, you're right. I think there were concerns about that, and that's why he went undrafted. But as far as catches in the Super Bowl, however many there have been played, Jermaine Curse's catch might be the best one ever, except for that one Giants guy maybe.
The helmet catch.
Yeah,
Tyree.
The helmet catch. But yeah,
David Tyree, that Giants guy.
Yeah, it's good enough. We don't care about
we
those
knew
guys.
Who you were talking about.
Yeah, when the Patriots were unbeaten and then unbeaten no more, that game.
Right.
Hey, Jim, we saw something that I thought would be of particular interest to you, and that is that it's through two games. But apparently the odds in Vegas are saying your odds-on favorite to win the NFL MVP right now is Russell Wilson. How about that? They have shifted because I think at the start of the year it was Patrick Mahomes number one, Lamar Jackson was two, and Russell was three, according to the story I read that I sent in our notes last night. But that's got to make you happy, right, Jim?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know, Bob. I look at it and I'm going,
sure you
okay.
Do.
Well, I suppose it'd be cool if Russell won the MVP, but I'm not rooting for it to happen, and I think you guys know why. I wrote a post for 710sports.com.
What?
It's not like I'm a Russell Wilson hater, especially a guy who midway through the first season thought he was the best quarterback in franchise history. I just tip my cap to history, and I talk about a trend being your friend, and I'll lay it out there again. There has not been a winner of an MVP award on a team that's won a Super Bowl in 21 years. It hasn't happened since 1999 when Kurt Warner took the St. Louis Rams to the Super Bowl and won that game. So, and I know, you know, last year when we talked about this, both you and Dave said, you know, it's just a coincidence, but 21 years worth of coincidence? I don't think so. I tip my cap to history and just let someone else win the award. I see that Patrick Mahomes now is the second betting choice now, 4.5 to 1. Lamar Jackson's 5 to 1. Let those two guys battle it out.
Hey, and, Jim, you know how the players say keep my name out your mouth?
Yeah.
Well, keep my name out of your articles.
No, I just was going back to last year. I basically plagiarized myself from what I wrote last year. And,
you can't
and
plagiarize
it.
Yourself.
Well, I know. And I recycled it again this year because I feel just I feel just as strongly about it. And I was a little disappointed. I'll stop talking here in a second because I know I'm probably losing the 907 or somewhere, somebody out there. Mm. But Russell Wilson, when he spoke to the media today, I saw his quote. And, Bob, you're probably going to say, well, hey, Jim, we have that. I don't want to vote talking about, because we all know that he hasn't gotten a vote for MVP yet.
Right.
Over all these years, he hasn't even gotten a single vote, which is ridiculous. So when he was asked about that, he said, I don't want to vote. More importantly, I want to win. And I thought, well, there you go. There's the Russell Wilson we all know and love. He's more interested in team goals and wanting to win the championship and all those things. And then I saw in parentheses in Joe Fan's story, NBC Sports Northwest, I want to win, parentheses, the award. So it is important to him
so
to get
you,
that recognition.
You think there's a connection between a player winning the MVP award and the team not making it to the promised land?
No, I don't think there's a connection, Bob. History says there is one. So, hey, Harden, I don't need that from a fellow Coug, man.
Just let Stevie tell you the story here.
I love Stevie Wonder. I saw him in Pullman back in, like, 1975. He's fantastic.
Come on, that's a bunch of superstitious
nonsense.
Can I
read you a
quote?
On,
man.
21 years. 21 years.
Jim, from
years.
The song, when you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
Yes.
You're talking about superstition. How is it a bad thing for your a player on your team to win the MVP? You're saying that
I just Dave, I just laid that out for you.
Yeah, but it's superstitious. It's happenstance.
How is it superstitious? It's factual. It's happened the last 21 years.
Does it make any? It has happened. So we do have this category on the show called "One of Those Things That Just Happened," right? So what? What would be the reason for that?
What if I told you that something has never happened this century?
I know what you would do. Jim, a little dramatic on the century thing.
Century, yeah.
Okay, I noticed that.
No, I know we're early in the century,
Bob,
but still,
Bob
20 years.
Bob pointed it out to me. He says, in this century, I'm like, whoa, that's a little bit dramatic. Like, yeah. It's 2020, okay. But still, how can you explain...
What, you want logic from me? I'm not going to give you logic, so, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask.
Are you one that believes you shouldn't say the words no-hitter when the no-hitter is going on? You believe you have that kind of power?
I think that's ridiculous.
The Madden curse, if you're on the cover of Madden, then you're going to get hurt. Or if you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, something bad is going to happen, that there's some sort of power being wielded by SI or Madden?
No, that's ridiculous. Okay, so it's...
That's ridiculous, but this makes sense.
Okay, correct. Here's a fact. Here's a fact. The last 21 teams that have had the MVP, they haven't won the Super Bowl. Okay, you'll agree to that.
Well, yeah, that's
okay.
Factual.
And in the 55 times they've had a Super Bowl, only 8 MVPs, the teams where the MVP was on that team, won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and do your math on 8 out of 55. I did it. It's like a batting average of 150.
But would
so
that speak
like
to the way the
it's
team
like Vogue.
Is comprised?
Huh?
Would it speak to the way the team is comprised? That this is a standout player on a team that otherwise is maybe good, not great, or mediocre at times, or maybe their defense stinks?
Who was the MVP last year? Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. could you argue, well, with Lamar Jackson, you can't argue this, but could you argue with Russell Wilson making $35 million this year? Because typically the MVP is a guy that's going to, you know, have the salary in the stratosphere. So that with him making $35 million, it was harder to maybe make a move on the defensive line like you wanted to make. So you're weaker in other areas. That's why I don't think it's a coincidence.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there's a logical point,
yeah,
actually. That... Or you could say, you know, I'm just trying to find something to help me support this. And you, Jim, I'm trying to make the argument for you. Maybe you're relying too much on one guy. You're not as much of a team, maybe. I mean,
that could be an explanation. So should you root for Russell Wilson to win the MVP?
Yes.
Why not? It's not going to hurt your chances.
It's huge for the city. As I wrote in the notes, and somebody can correct me on this as well, I think they've had 3 MVPs, right? They had Griffey in 97, they had Ichiro in 2001, and they had Sean Alexander in 05. Did I miss anybody?
I don't know if you missed anybody. I don't think so.
Yeah,
so
I think Sonics.
I don't think they ever had a Sonics MVP. No. And it would be huge for the fan base. It'd be huge for the 12s, like Jim. It would be a big deal for Seattle if you've got the reigning MVP as your quarterback. And I think it has zero bearing on whether they win the Super Bowl or not.
Why would you say zero bearing?
Because if he doesn't win the MVP, do you automatically feel like their chances are increased?
Yes.
But his salary is still the same. You're saying salary is part of it. So if he doesn't win the MVP at $35 million, you think their chances are better. But if he wins the MVP at $35 million, all of a sudden they can't afford to field the team around him in this very same season.
I'm just saying that based on the history of what I laid out, 710sports.com, if you care to read it, it basically says that a Super Bowl or an MVP of the regular season has not won a Super Bowl since Kurt Warner in 1999.
When you believe in things.
Hey, can I tell you a quick story
that you
about
don't understand,
Stevie
Wonder? Jim.
I think you'll like this, and maybe you've already heard it before. And if you've heard it before, act like you haven't heard it,
okay,
Dave?
Yes, please. Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
So Stevie Wonder, when he came to Pullman, there was talk about, man, Stevie Wonder's coming to Pullman. This was like 1975 or whatever. And it used to cost $5 to go to concerts in Pullman, $5. But when Stevie Wonder, I remember in the Daily Evergreen, there was a big story, front page story, the school newspaper. People were up in arms because if Stevie Wonder came to Pullman, they were going to charge us $7.50 to go see him.
What? Outrageous.
Yeah.
A 50% increase? That's ridiculous.
Who does this guy think he is? A musical genius? Jeez.
Yeah. And he was coming to Pullman, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. You know, how do they tour? How do they route that? Hey, we're going to go L.A. Yeah. We're going to hit New York. Of course, we're going to squeeze Pullman in there.
Elton John's been there, too.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jethro Tull was there in the 70s.
I'll tell
you,
in the Bay Area, I think that's where I got my tinnitus from going to concerts back then. But everybody came through the Bay Area.
Well, yeah, that's a big market. Pullman
yeah,
would
huge
is a little different. But Elton John and Pullman and Stevie Wonder and Pullman?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's
it
great.
Was cool.
So Bob Dylan was there when I was there.
Who?
That was 97, Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Sheryl Crow came through?
That's
yeah.
a who's who.
Guess who I had a front row seat for in Pullman? Neil Sedaka.
That would not have been my guess.
I know.
Neil Sedaka.
I thought you were going to say Neil Diamond. And I would have went, okay.
Neil right. Sedaka.
Neil Sedaka. All right.
All right. So did I convince you guys?
No.
Nope.
You did not.
Even close?
It was a fine attempt on your part, though.
I'll bet I convinced a 907-509-425. Somebody out there.
Somebody. Well, they might just be as superstitious as you are. So I don't know if you convinced them or they're just right along with you the whole time. But we're going to come back. We're going to talk some baseball with our favorite wet blanket. ESPN's Jeff Passan will join us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle. Very superstitious.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. Well, we look forward to this conversation every other week, talking some baseball with a man who does a fine job of covering the sport for ESPN, talking about Jeff Passan joining us now. Jeff, how are you, man?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, we're good. We're coming down the stretch here. Mariners have 4 games left, and I'm looking at the playoff chances for them. ESPN has them at 0.1% chance, so there is a chance. But just looking at this team where they sit with a couple games left, are they about what you thought they would be? Are they better? Are they worse? How did they measure up compared to what you expected going into this 60-game season?
I think they're probably a smidge better than I thought they were going to be. You know, if you look at the record versus the run differential, they've actually outplayed their run differential by a couple of games. And I thought they were going to be probably closer to where like Detroit or Kansas City are, you know, like a 400 team. I was hoping to see Jared Kelenic at some point, hoping to see Julio Rodriguez before he got hurt, hoping to see some of the prospects, but they are steadfast in their plan. And seeing the emergence of Kyle Lewis into a guy who's going to win Rookie of the Year and certainly deserves to do so.
Is he going to win it?
It's been really cool. Yeah, I think he's going to win it. Luis Robert, at this point, his on base is under 300. I have a very difficult time seeing a guy with an on base percentage under 300 winning the award over a guy who plays the same position, has similar power, and has a slugging percentage in the same vicinity, and you know, arguably plays you know, as good if not a better center field and steals bases. Listen, voters can do very weird things, so don't hold me to this, but I do think Kyle Lewis will be Rookie of the Year.
That's good to hear. Hey, Jeff, we were talking earlier about the Mariners winning a series from the Astros. Hasn't happened in a while, but Jose Altuve, 215, Carlos Correa, 250, Gurriel, 240. These are batting averages. I think you see where I'm going. I think we used the word damning earlier. What do you think?
I'm not going to say it's damning because, you know, a guy like George Springer is still OPSing 860, 870, somewhere in that vicinity. Wow. Look, in a short season, weird things can happen. And I don't think that, I don't believe that the Astros definitively were cheating in the 2019 season. So if that was not the case, and it may be, I don't know at this point, but if that's not the case, then wouldn't the 2019 numbers reflect that? Or do you believe that they were cheating in 2019 and that this is their first year, you know, unadulterated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like to think they were cheating and they needed trash cans, and that's why they're struggling so mightily this year, Jeff.
All right.
I like to think that.
That was a very passionate response. All right. Yeah. Help yourself.
I do like to think that. All right, so what are the playoffs going to be like this year? I'm trying to get up to speed here with what's going on. Because early on when they were talking about, once they get down, when the season ends, that like the number one team, are they still going to get their choice of who they get to play in the first round?
Are you talking this year or next year?
Yeah, this year.
This year, no. This year, it's going to be 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, and 4 versus 5. That's the plan for this year. There's going to be no reseeding. It's going to be 3 games, best of 3 in the wild card round, best of 5 in the division series, and 7 in the LCS and World Series. It's going to be a long month.
Who do you like? Do you like the Rays to win it all?
I do not. I like the Dodgers. And, you know, it's an easy pick, of course. And they've had, you know, their questions about their starting pitching and just how, you know, Clayton Kershaw is your one. He hasn't exactly acquitted himself in the playoffs as much as he has during the regular season. Walker Buehler spent a lot of time on the injured list. You know, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin are rookies. So that's who's filling out your rotation. And in the 8th and 9th, Blake Treinen and Kenley Jansen haven't exactly been the paragons of stability of late. So the idea that the Dodgers are going to run roughshod through this thing, I don't know how realistic that is, but I do believe if they can get past the wild card round, then they will win it. Because the longer series go, the more their depth matters, especially with no off days. You know, in a typical 7-game playoff series, guys, there are 2 off days. In the league championship series this year, they're playing 7 straight. In the division series, they're playing 5 straight. So that's where depth really counts.
Hey, Jeff, earlier in the show, Jim made the statement that if the Mariners didn't trade Taijuan Walker, that they'd be going to the playoffs. I disagree with that, but where are you at? Is he the difference between them getting there and not getting there this year?
No. can we have this argument play out? Can I hear this argument? I'd love to hear this argument.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think Taijuan Walker would have really bolstered that rotation, and they would have gotten a few more wins, and that's the difference between staying at home and replacing the Astros as the second-place team in the AL West. Your turn, Jeff Passan.
He would have bolstered the rotation. Oh, boy.
How do you argue with that?
I mean, look, I will say this. Marco Gonzalez is better than I ever thought he was going to be. He is, I almost feel like he's left-handed Kyle Hendricks. And I very much appreciate watching a guy who throws as soft as he does, pitches effectively as he does. Justin Sheffield has been a pleasant surprise. I did not think that he was going to have the commander control to be a good big league pitcher. At least this year, I was wrong. Justin Dunn, if he ever can throw strikes consistently, maybe a guy. The difference, though, between Taijuan Walker and the guys who replaced him in the rotation, Margavages?
LJ Newsome, the other.
I mean, is the difference between Taijuan Walker and Nick Margavages three full games?
Jim?
It's not a rhetorical question. I'm genuinely curious.
Okay. Well, Jeff, you might be right about that.
I am.
I mean, Lord knows, Jeff, I know you don't listen to this show very often, but I'm known for being wrong, so what the heck. You know, I'm consistent with it.
Like around my house, I'm known for that too, so I totally get you, buddy. Like,
okay.
It's all right.
All right, settle an argument then, because, I mean, these bozos that I work with are trying to make me sound stupid last segment. Okay, in the NFL, an MVP of his team has not won a Super Bowl in 21 years since Kurt Warner did it in 1999 with the St. Louis Rams. So I'm saying a lot of excitement in Seattle. Russell Wilson, the MVP favorite now. I'm saying that he shouldn't win the award because history tells us that if he wins the award, the Seahawks probably won't win the Super Bowl. Is that such a stupid argument?
Yes, that's a terrible argument.
Jeff, you got to come on the
Thank
show
you,
more
Jeff.
Often.
I know. I heard we're done with Jeff.
Jeff,
after
can
today.
You come on daily?
Yeah.
We need you.
Oh, that was not the answer Jim was hoping for.
Well, see, Jeff knows a lot about baseball, but nothing about football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I do know about life, and in life there are good arguments and bad arguments, and that's a bad argument.
Hey, how was your 40th birthday on Monday?
It was really good, actually. I do not see it. It's funny what makes you feel old and what doesn't. I did not feel old on my 40th birthday, but I did feel old today when Alex Gordon, the Royals outfielder, announced his retirement. Because I remember my second year covering baseball, the Royals drafted Alex Gordon. And I have now seen the inception of a player's career to the end of his career when his career was 15-plus years. Mm, yeah. And that right there is the sort of thing that will make you feel old. Mm, so today has been a depressing day, honestly. This whole segment is actually like evens me out quite a bit. I appreciate it, Jim. I'm sorry to turn you into a punching bag here. I really am. But you've made, just know that you have made my day that much better.
Look okay. at that. There we
feel
go.
Feel good about that, Jeff. What's Happy up? Birthday.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's end on a high note. Jeff, we really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for the time. And the conversation, good stuff. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll hopefully be talking soon.
Gentlemen, it's been fun. We're going to be talking about, you know, with expanded playoffs coming, I have a feeling that sooner than later we're going to be talking about the Mariners as a playoff team.
Man, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Take care, fellas.
There you go. Jeff Passan of ESPN. That's a calm, cool head right there, a man who knows what he's talking about.
That guy's gold.
And not just because Jim.
Yeah, not just because he rejected Jim's idiotic theory.
Can we get him again? Are we done with him?
I think that was the last one for the season.
He seems to have fun. We made him feel better. Maybe we can tell him Jim anytime did. You want to feel better, come on and turn Jim into a punching bag, as he put it.
All right, coming up, Jamal Adams has heard some rumors that he might not be getting the respect he deserves in Dallas. We'll hear what he told the media today. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you guys have radios in your homes. If you've got a smart speaker, just
tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. It becomes a radio right there for you. Or you can just log on to the video stream, listen to the show that way, 710sports.com. Just click the watch live. You can see Dave and I in here. I've got company in the studio. I'm just giddy this week. I have another live person in studio instead of a staring at Danny O'Neill's big head over here, fat head, or whatever they call those things.
Yeah.
Although you did dress it up nicely with your artwork.
That's a little bit of a project. I noticed that around the station here, they don't have enough art supplies.
Is that right?
I need that.
We need more supplies here. Hey, Jamal Adams was talking with the media today, and we've mentioned this. There are a couple, and Paul brought it up, you know, a couple of big plays that he gave up in terms of pass coverage. And apparently he's talking about he heard from a friend in Dallas that there's talk of his coverage issues and that that is giving him a chip on his shoulder heading into this game.
So I got a little text from one of my buddies back home. So he has the inside scoop on that. So looking forward to it.
So who said that or where did you see that? Or?
I can't tell you that, man. Come on. I can't give you the nuggets like that, man. Nah, I grew up with a couple guys who are still my brother's best friends to this day. We talk every day, group message, and, you know, what goes on in Dallas, you know, it always comes back to me, you know. I always find out the scoop. So just a little edge, you know, a little chip on my shoulder to go out there and continue to do what I'm doing.
I'm good with that. Have a chip. Seems like everybody has one, but if it works for you, awesome. I hope he's mad. I hope he's really mad.
Yeah, well, we heard from Moyer. You know, he said, look, he could probably do a little bit better. One of the plays that a lot of people have talked about is that deep crossing pattern by Hayden Hurst in the Atlanta game. And how, and I'm pretty sure, like I always qualify this, pretty sure they were in two man. So you have two guys deep and guys underneath are playing man to man. And so he is basically back there to help. You know, and so
safety net.
Right. And so he bit up on something that was a pretty hard play fake as far as a run. And then he was late getting back there and he maybe could have gotten an interception, actually. But it was a tremendously good throw and really good catch by Hurst. But, you know, that's a couple of the things that I've heard as far as, you know, his coverage goes. But I also remember him covering about a 20-yard dig route on Julio Jones. So, I mean, look, he has the potential. I don't know if there's been a couple of times where, you know, he's jumping something and he shouldn't, but I know he can do it. He can cover, man. He's not just this box safety. I mean, this guy, the thing is about him, though, he's so good at that they're playing him up there a lot. And I think that's, you know, taking away opportunities for interceptions. But who cares if you're getting sacks,
right?
You know, or tackles for loss. But That's one of the things that I think he's been given a hard time about. Like, you know, people are always trying to find a crack in some guy's game, you know.
Right.
Jamal Adams is so good. So, you know, people are, oh, well, he doesn't have that many interceptions. What does he get, three in 4 years or something like that? So, I mean, that's basically what I think people are talking about. But, yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Have yourself.
Play angry. Yeah. Right, Jim?
Well, yeah, he looked like maybe he was on the losing end a couple times with Julian Edelman, but I still come back, Bob. I'm going to make excuses for Jamal Adams, too. You had Quandre Diggs out of that game. You had Marquise Blair. Let's see how he does against, the Cowboys. I mean, they got receivers coming at you from every different direction. So we'll see how it goes with a full week of practice with having Diggs back and then, you know, maybe Amadi there at the nickel spot. And I don't think it was... I don't think it was just in Dallas. I think there was some talk in Seattle about some of his coverage issues, too, in that game.
Yeah, well, you brought up Diggs, you know, not being in the game, and he was asked about that. Here's his response to Diggs being taken out of that game.
No, I'm just excited to play with him. Hopefully, you know, I told Diggs, I said if he gets ejected again, I'm going to delete his number and I'll follow him off of Instagram and Twitter, so... If he leaves us out there to dry again, you know, we're going to have some problems. But now he's excited to get back. And obviously, you know, he didn't mean, you know, no harm with the hit, but just playing so fast, you know, like he always does. But I can tell you he's itching to get back out there, and I can't wait to, you know, get back out there with him.
I think that'll inspire Diggs. He doesn't want to be unfollowed on Instagram and Twitter and have his number deleted.
That's pretty funny. That's good. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, those guys play so well together. And again, Quandre Diggs now 6-1 as a starter. Mm-hmm. He's been really good. I thought he played really well in that Atlanta game. And then, you know, he did what he's supposed to do. Again,
Well, Jamal said what you always say. He goes, man, there was no intention on the hit. It was so fast.
Yeah.
And that's what you talk about is we at home and the officials, everybody, we have the luxury of super slow-mo, right? Super slow-mo where it looks like, well, he's got all day to, you know, get his head out of the play or look this way or look that way. And, you know, we're talking about a fraction of a second.
Right. And look, that's the problem I have with when fans or people text in. It's like, okay, I understand that it's a rule. They're trying to do that to preserve the game, really. I mean, if you start getting guys just knocked out right and left, it's bad for the product. You know, people aren't going to – I know that Goodell's thing is about kids playing, you know, football and that the pipeline is going to dry up. I don't think that that's as big of a problem as he does. But, you know, look, a lot of these things – I mean, Quandre, why would he do that? Why would he purposely do that? To get thrown out of the game? Is that play worth that? Is it worth the whatever, how many thousands of dollars he's going to be fined? No. So he obviously didn't do it on purpose. And, you know, that's the thing where on a play like that, you can't watch it in slow motion sitting on your couch. You just have no idea how fast things happen. Even being down on the sidelines. That's why we were talking earlier about these the coaches that want to go back up into the booth.
Right.
It's hard to see what's going on down there on the sidelines because things happen fast. And when you're out there on the field and you got guys running every which way, all running like a 4-5, 4-4, 4-3, 40, and they're intersecting in space, it's just happenstance when, you know, a helmet hits another helmet. They certainly don't want that.
And pretty cool to see that Quandre contacted N'Keal Harry to see how he was doing and wanted to let him know that it wasn't intentional. And, yeah. And so that was a nice gesture on his part.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk more football. I'm assuming Minshew will enter the conversation when we talk to the professor. Coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.